Hello everybody and welcome to the Good Bit Podcast. We are here today for a very special bonus edition of the podcast for your ears as a little bit of a reward for all of your great listenership and your viewership over the past number of weeks since we've been back here in 2024. We have a few bonus editions being released over the next couple of weeks. So one of my favourite topics that I always like to talk to my guests about here on the podcast is what are some of those films that you've always wanted to see but for one reason or another has just never been on your TV, you've just never seen it, like a classic film that people always talk about and can't believe that you've never seen. But one day, you know, it just appears on film 4 on a random Tuesday evening and you decide, okay, do you know what, I'm going to finally watch this. Or maybe you get it on DVD or Blu-ray or a 4K release or something like that. Or maybe on an anniversary, it is released back into the cinema and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go see this classic film in the way it was intended to be seen, and that is on a big screen with the surround sound in a cinema. What are some of those films? And sometimes you can finally announce, yes, I have seen that classic film. So, you know, in anticipation to releasing some of these bonus editions of the Good Bit Podcast, I've asked some of my guests, what are some classic films or incredible films that you've never seen before that you finally watched recently? So on today's edition, I have one of my favourite members of the Good Bit family, actor, voiceover artist, impressionist, Warhammer fan? I don't know. Warhammerer. And a fellow admirer of Rowan Atkinson's obscure live show. I shouldn't say it's obscure, but it's Rowan Atkinson's live show from, I guess, the early 90s, before, you know, Mr. Bean and before Blackadder and Johnny English, and before he hit the big time, he did some of these sketches, these one-man sketches on the stage in America, and it was released on DVD years and years ago, and, you know, I watched this and studied this when I was really young, and I just didn't think anybody else did, but it turns out Greg Jones, my guest today, also was a big fan. So I love talking to guests about that sort of thing, but I even like talking to Greg about Rowan Atkinson's obscure live show that we will do a watch-through or a watch-along for the podcast. I think that'd be a really good idea for many reasons. Right, okay, here we go. I asked Greg, what are some films that you've seen for the very first time in the last year, right here on this very special bonus edition of the Good Bit Podcast? When I asked you to pick a film that you watched for the first time in 2023, I just assumed that as a Blu-ray collector, I'm assuming that, you know, you're probably not like me, whereas when I buy Blu-rays, they sit on my shelf for ages. Yeah, and I don't actually watch them. I was wondering if you watched any of the ones that you picked up this year, and if just any ones on streaming services that you watched for the first time, any classics?
So, I picked it up. I still haven't seen it. This is terrible. But The Naked Gun is sat on my shelf waiting because I saw so many clips of it. And then they announced they were doing a special anniversary steelbook. Right. And I was in Disney. I was in the queue for the Ratatouille ride at Epcot. And I was like, pre-order. And I just completely forgot that I'd ordered it. So when it arrived, I was like, so that's a movie that sat on the shelf ready to be watched.
I can't believe, like, I'm not one to, you know, judge someone for not seeing films. There's plenty of classic films that I've not seen. But The Naked Gun, I can't believe you've not seen The Naked Gun.
I mean, just speak your mind, man. Just speak your mind. I know. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it because I love, like, Leslie Nielsen's sense style of humor. Is it The Naked Gun where he looks at the chalk outline? He's like, isn't it funny how the body fell exactly within the chalk line? Is it in Naked Gun?
I believe so. And it's okay, also like the recurring gag of every single time he stops a car, he has to hit something. So it's like bins and stuff just flying about everywhere outside the police office.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about that today, actually. And you know they're making a new one. They're doing a reboot of it.
What?
And do you know who's playing him?
Oh, no. Go on.
Take a guess.
In today's day and age, I'm going to say Chris Pratt.
Leslie. Definitely not Leslie Nielsen.
I mean, how they've done that? No. 10,000 volts. There you go.
Wait for this, though. Liam Neeson.
Really?
That's what I heard, yeah.
I would never have imagined. No. Liam Neeson's playing Leslie Nielsen.
That's what confused me. Leslie Neeson.
Okay, so Liam Neeson playing him. Interesting.
Whether that happens or not, I don't know, but it's what I heard today. So,
hey, who knows?
Yeah.
So, based on a recommendation of our good friend, Mr. Mike Geary, I I sat down and watched Prince of Darkness for Halloween. How can I politely put this? It wasn't quite what I was hoping it would be.
Oh no!
It was very. At the time, it must have been absolutely terrifying. And it's more of like John Carpenter's wonderful style. For me, it just didn't quite hit as well as things like The Thing. And I think there were certain characters in it that I'm thinking, they're so irritating. How on earth in a horror movie are really good, interesting characters being killed off, and yet the characters that you just hate and are saying lines that really belong in a bygone age? Okay. How are they surviving till the end?
Do you think they were doing that on purpose, like trying not to do the stereotypical 80s horror film kind of mode?
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. It was just something that I think, it's a horror film I wouldn't watch again, but at least I can say that I've seen it. But we saw Muppet's Treasure Island for the first time. So we try and watch Christmas Carol every year, but seeing Muppet's Treasure Island for the first time, it was just a joy. I mean, Tim Curry was phenomenal in that. He was so good.
That's right. I've not seen that in years and years. That's one I had when I was really small. I had that one. Along with like Christmas Carol, when it's just the classic Muppets, the Muppet shows.
Yes.
Who's your favourite Muppet?
Right. I do have a soft spot for Fozzie. I really do have a soft spot because I think it's the fact that he plays Fezziwig in Muppets Christmas Carol. He's always like, and now it's time for my speech. He's always like, oh, it's just so good.
Help me with them. Help me with any more Muppets. You got Gonzo. Can you do Gonzo?
Oh, Gonzo. And Tiny Tim, who did not die. There he is.
That's very good.
So you got Gonzo the Magnificent, who was just Charles Dickens. He wasn't Gonzo in Muppets, was he? It's just Charles Dickens.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I do love that movie. So I'd never seen it until Luce and I moved into our flat, and she was like, right, we have to see Muppets Christmas Carol. And it's a game changer now. It's like every Christmas we stick it on. We didn't this year because we're trying not to like overdo it, but past few years, been every year. So
that's going to be the one.
What about you, man?
So I'm just trying to find it here on my Letterboxd app. Here it is here. So one of the ones that I watched that I wanted to talk about was The King of Comedy, Martin Scorsese film.
Oh, okay.
With Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis.
I didn't realize Jerry Lewis is in it.
He's like the kind of the idol of Robert De Niro's character, right? So it's about this kind of comedian that is like really struggling. He's not that funny, but he's a good guy at heart. And as the film goes on, he gets more and more frustrated that he's not getting his big break. And he's like, come on, take the chance on me. And you know it's Robert De Niro because he's so, I don't mean to say he's so Robert De Niro, it makes it sound as if he's not doing his job right.
Yeah.
But Robert De Niro has a very American like ability to him, especially as he got older. And even in this film as well, I know this is 1978 or something, so he's still pretty young at the time. It's really interesting from a point of view of a performer that is kind of, struggling or whatever, trying to find a big break and thinking what you would do to kind of get that big moment.
Yes.
And what I found really interesting about it is, did you see Joker in 2019? You probably did.
Yes. Yeah, isn't it Taxi Driver and King of Comedy mixed with a little bit of Batman makes Joker?
Absolutely. So I'd seen those films apart from King of Comedy when I saw Joker, right? And I just thought, Robert De Niro is like the TV talk show host at the end of Joker.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was a surprise or a cameo or something like that. I didn't know he was in it. And I always thought, that's such a cool moment, like Robert De Niro pops up at the end. Wow. Yeah. Watching The King of Comedy, it's kind of like a callback to this because, Robert De Niro is the performer. And then, of course, Joker is the performer. He gets onto the big show. And eventually, I don't want to spoil the film, but, it's one of those films that you're just like, you're kind of wanting him to succeed, but you want what's best for everybody in the situation because he's doing some really questionable things to get the spot. Okay. On TV, so definitely worth the watch. It was on Disney Plus. I don't know if it is anymore. It's saying it's on Apple TV now and Mubi.
Interesting.
So maybe worth a check out. But it was okay. One that was on my watch list for years. Finally checked out in 2023 and really, really enjoyed it. So there you go.
Okay, I'm going to stick that to the list. Thank you.